Wow, amen. Good morning, everybody. How are we feeling today? You doing good? Who's excited for summer? All right. You guys got to be more excited for summer. It is going to be an amazing time. I am excited for all the things that we're going to be doing on Friday nights and helping plan our summer Bible talks after service today and ICMC in North Carolina and so many other things. And I know we didn't get to watch the video of Good News from Africa, but I am so excited for our annual special missions contribution also. And I do want to encourage you to be praying and thinking about how you can give towards that. And it is such good work that we're giving to support all over Africa, the Caribbean, upstate New York, and Guy Hammond's Strength and Weakness Ministry. And as it was said, also our New York City School of Missions, our Ministry Training Academy, which we focus on to help raise up new young men and women to go into the ministry and to be able to help build the church in a full-time way. And so I do want to make one other really exciting announcement today that's connected to Special Missions Contribution and our School of Missions. And that is that as of June 1st, your very own Nick Perla is going to be a full-time intern for our campus ministry here. And so we're so excited for Nick, and I know that we all in this room are inspired by him and by his example and his heart to serve this ministry, to serve God. And him and Gigi are both going to be continuing to help with the Bronx group that we have and also helping with the Westchester campus ministry as well. And so we're really excited for Nick. And next Sunday, we'll get to announce a few other people that are going to be serving as part-time interns this summer as well. So we're really excited about what God is doing there. And so today we're going to be going back to the book of Luke. And after today, we're actually going to be taking a break from going through the book of Luke to have a different summer series. And I have loved going through Luke from January until today. And so you can open up to Luke chapter 5, verse 12. I know last week Caleb and Julia spoke on Jesus calling the first disciples, calling us to come follow him. And then we're going to finish Luke chapter 5 today, looking at the beginning of Jesus's ministry and what the disciples were seeing in who Jesus was and who they were trying to be like as they were deciding to follow Jesus. And what we're going to see in these 14 verses today, what we're going to see is two stories of what the heart and the spirit of Jesus's ministry was that we get to be part of and that we're called to follow him, to be in and to imitate ourselves. And just like with the practice preaching icebreaker that we had today, I would love some mms if something is helpful to you, or some preach it bros, or just some interaction, or if anything's convicting or encouraging, that we're all really digging into the word together and learning from this together. Amen? Amen. And so the main focus of this message today, what I want to point out to you about Jesus and about who we're supposed to be as disciples of Jesus, is that we need to be people in this world who are willing to do what others won't. That what we see in Jesus is somebody who is willing to do what no one else would do. Somebody who is willing to do for God what others won't do. Who's willing to do for others what no one else is willing to do. And so the title of my sermon today is Willing to Go Above and Beyond. Right? Maybe there's people in your life where you're like, man, they have been willing to go above and beyond others for me. Right? And that what you'll see in Jesus is that's who Jesus is. Someone who's willing to go above and beyond, and that if we're called to follow him, that's who we need to be as well. Right? When we think of this word willing, right? Are you willing? Right? That means somebody who's like, okay, I'll do it. Right? Let me help. How can I be used? How can I use my gifts? And so this morning I want to ask you, how willing are you? When it comes to serving God, when it comes to helping others, do you have a willing spirit, a willing heart? And not just willing to do average, not just willing to do bare minimum, but willing to go above and beyond average. willing to go beyond what's ordinary, above what's necessary or expected. And so let's read Luke 5, 12 to 26, and see how Jesus is willing to go above and beyond to help us, and then how we must be willing to go above and beyond for others and for one another. Amen? So I have 2 points for us today, and that's willing to go beyond to serve and willing to go above to save. And so first we're going to talk about being willing to go beyond to serve. And let's start in Luke 5, verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And you see there this question of Jesus' willingness. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And so we see this guy comes to Jesus, and it says that he is covered with leprosy. And leprosy was then and is still today a very serious disease. And it's serious on multiple levels. One, it was a very shamed disease because it brought a lot of shame on the person who had it. It was a skin-eating disease. Still is a skin-eating disease. It ate away at your flesh, and it slowly ate away at your limbs, your fingers, your limbs. And it was known as a living death because you were slowly being eaten away at. Because of this disease, you became somebody who was socially outcast. And that's why it brought with it a lot of shame. Because of the way other people treated you, it is an incredibly contagious disease. And so you couldn't live with other people. You couldn't work and hold a job anymore. And so you were socially outcast. And because of how contagious it was, what people would do is if you walked by somebody with leprosy, or if somebody was walking by somebody with leprosy, what would happen is they would yell, "Unclean, unclean," to kind of be a warning signal of, oh, stay away from this person, right? And even the person with leprosy themselves was expected to yell that so that others would stay away from them. And I just want you to try to imagine what that would do to someone. To be outcast, to be shamed, to have to yell unclean when somebody comes near them, or other people are yelling that when they come near you. And so it has this physical effect, but also this psychological effect that's just as serious. Being forced to live alone and ostracized. And what came along with this also was a lot of self-hatred and a lot of blaming of yourself, because in the first century and in Judaism, there was this thinking that if something bad is happening to me, that's connected to some moral doctrine above that. Like, okay, if something bad is happening to me, it must be because I did something wrong to deserve this. And you see, like, when the one blind man comes to Jesus, and it's like, who sinned, him or his parents, that this happened to him? And Jesus says, neither him nor his parents, but this happened so that God could be glorified. Right, but there was this belief that, hey, if I'm sick or impoverished or something bad is happening to me, it must be because I deserve this. There must be something wrong with me or something wrong that I did. And so not only, you know, the effect of how others treat you, but this kind of self-despisement and blaming of yourself that I must deserve this, I must have done something wrong. And so to picture this story, this man sees Jesus, and he comes and he falls with his face to the ground and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Maybe feeling a sense of hope for the first time in his life that this problem could be fixed by Jesus. Right? And he comes to Jesus in a way that we all need to come to Jesus as well. I see in this man's example not somebody who was coming to Jesus entitled. Right, coming to Jesus like, "Lord, make me clean." No, he comes with his face to the ground begging Jesus. Not an entitlement, but a desperateness before Jesus. Right, he comes to Jesus with humility, with reverence, with respect. That's the way that we need to come to Jesus as well, asking, "If you're willing." And what we see in that is that he probably wasn't even thinking that he was going to reach out and touch him. Right? But just, are you willing to heal me? You can make me clean. And I love also in this man the example of faithfulness. That he wasn't entitled, he was humble, but he also showed faithfulness that you can make me clean, Jesus. You can do something about this. And so he comes to Jesus with reverence and humility, but also with faith and with belief in Jesus. The way that he came to Jesus is the way that we should come to Jesus as well. Not, Jesus, why aren't you doing something about this? Why aren't you fixing this for me? With entitlement, but no, coming before with a reverence, a falling on our face and begging, if you're willing, you can do this. A submission to Jesus is how we should come to him. And so how does Jesus respond? Is he willing? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. You know, I think this response from Jesus is so moving. Right? He says, are you willing? And Jesus says, I am willing. Yeah. But before that, he reaches out his hand, and maybe the guy like pulled back or flinched or was ready to yell unclean, but Jesus touches him. He reaches out his bare hand and touched the man, risking infection himself and risking his own social consequences that, hey, you touch someone unclean, you're unclean now. Jesus was willing to go beyond all of those barriers to connect with this person and show him, I'm not willing to just help you from afar. I'm willing to go beyond and intimately connect with you, care about you, and help you. And Jesus heals him, not only meeting this man's hopes, but exceeding his expectations of what Jesus was going to do. Don't you love when that happens? Don't you love when you hope for something and then it's even better than you turned out? Yes. Right? Maybe you're ordering something in the city and you're ordering it and it's a sandwich or it's, you know, a burger or whatever it is, and you find out, wait, and it comes with the fries? Ooh. Right? And you're like, that's not more on top of it? Right? Or you're going to be coming to church in the morning and you're expecting the trains to be late. But hey, hopefully they're going to show up, but then each bus or each train you've got to get on, it pulls up right on time. And you're like, whoa, I was not expecting that today. Right? Or different things. Maybe you go to your school advisor and you think, oh, I need 11 more classes to graduate. And you go and they say, actually, you only need 10 more classes to graduate. You're like, what? Right? When expectations are exceeded, it is exciting. You know, this past Christmas, I loved watching Tyler's face as his expectations were exceeded. There were certain things he was hoping for, expecting for Christmas. There were other things that he didn't even know he was hoping for, but were coming his way. And I loved watching him open one gift after another and just seeing his face of just shock and excitement as his expectation. It was like, hey, I was hoping for this thing, but then you don't know for sure if you're getting it. And then you open and you're like, oh, here it is. And you're excited. But then you grab another gift and you're like, and this too? And then you open another one and you're like, I didn't even know I wanted this. And this is even more awesome. Right? And just watching his face of his expectations being surpassed. And when we come to Jesus, this is what he does. He exceeds our expectations. We come to him, hey, Jesus, can you help me with this? Can you please help me with this? And then he does so much more than that. Right? Maybe you came to church today hoping for help with just something in your life. Maybe a new community or help with some sin that you're trying to overcome or finding forgiveness. Maybe you're just starting to read the Bible and you're hoping, hey, I want to learn more about God. I want to get my answers to some questions. But you come to Jesus, you come to his word, you come to his fellowship, and you find so much more than you initially expected.
That's right.
You know, this is what happened for me when I decided to become a Christian, to give my life up, to make Jesus Lord. I knew this was going to be better. Yeah. But fast forward 14 years, and it is so much better than I even thought it was going to be. Is it hard? Yes, because life is hard for everybody, right? But I've had God with me through all of it. I've been forgiven of all of my sin before and since. The person I am is so much different. The friendships, the marriage, the family that I'm in, there is just so much more than I even expected. And when you come to Jesus, that's what he does. Whatever we come to him needing, he gives more. Because Jesus is willing to go beyond average, beyond necessary, beyond normal. And we see that with how he treated the leper. Right? One, he talked to him. That was already going beyond what others would do. Two, to come stand near him. Three, to actually be able to heal him. And then did Jesus have to touch him to heal him? No, he healed plenty of other people without touching them, but he touched him as well. No, why did he do that? Because he was willing to go beyond. Because it wasn't just a remedy to leprosy that the man needed. He needed his humanity back. He needed to know somebody loved him and cared about him. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus is willing to touch the untouchable, to love the unlovable, to forgive the unforgivable, and to use the unusable. This is who Jesus is, and this is who he is for you today. Now, I want you to know that you can come to Jesus covered. The way this man was covered with leprosy, you can come to Jesus covered with shame, maybe with impurity, with different sin, with regret, covered with worries, with problems, whatever it is. And when you come to Jesus reverently, humbly, not entitled, not reluctantly, he is willing to cleanse you and then to walk with you from there. And so is there something that you need Jesus to cleanse you of? Have you asked him to? How have you asked him? Right? How does your intensity and dependency to get help compare to this leprous man's? And if that's not where you're at, how do you get there? Well, you've got to realize by looking at Jesus that he is who you need. And then you wave the white flag, you fall before him in surrender, in trust, in reliance, in prayer, and you ask him to help you with the willingness to walk away different, changed, and obeying his word. And when you come to Jesus with that faith, with that heart, he can answer our prayers for help. Jesus is willing to help you if you go to him just like this man did. Now, I do want to point out, too, that he didn't just go to Jesus for help and then walk away forgetting about him. He went to Jesus for help, and then Jesus said, go to the temple and offer the sacrifice required of you. Right? And so there was an obedience factor that he had to respond with. And that's the same way for us. We go to Jesus for help, and we got to walk away ready to obey him as well, to make sacrifices in our lives, to follow his word, and to change the ways that he's calling us to. And so Jesus is willing to go beyond for us. We too must be willing to go beyond for him and for others. And you know, with this whole point, I want to point out what Jesus is willing to do for you, but then you're also called to follow him, right? And so then this is who we need to be willing to be for other people as well, to have this willingness like Jesus did, yes, I'm willing to go beyond to help other people. And so how willing are you to go beyond what's comfortable or what's average to get to God or to serve and to help others? Right, it helps to think about, well, what does it mean to be willing? To be willing means to be ready. You know, it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to do it or that you always have to do everything or whatever, but it's like, hey, I'm ready to help if that's what's needed of me. I'm ready to do something. Willingness means ready. It means eager. You're prepared to do something versus, oh, fine, you know, or I can't believe they're asking me to do this or whatever. But no, like, I want to help. How can I give? That's willingness. It's action, but more than that, it's our attitude. It's this attitude of willingness to go beyond normal, beyond where others will go to care for others and do even more than what's expected. And so if you're going to be like Jesus and be a willing person, then you're going to do what Jesus did here. You're going to break social barriers, right? You're going to amaze people with how you use your time to help other people, who you're willing to help, people different than you, people that might need something that you have and can give them. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's being willing to share your faith with other people. Maybe it's being willing to serve or give up your time to somebody else in some way, to use your gifts for the ministry. Whatever it is, it's a willingness to go outside your comfort zone for others. And this is going beyond to serve. And I do want to say, too, that sometimes I think we separate evangelism from serving. And I think the two go hand in hand. That when we're trying to help others come to Jesus, we serve them. When we're trying to serve people, we're also trying to share the gospel with them. To me, sitting down and studying the Bible with somebody, that is serving, right? You're serving. Becoming a friend with somebody who needs Jesus, that's serving, right? Helping people out spiritually is serving them, as well as physical needs, friendship needs as well, all those different kinds of things, right? Jesus was willing to go beyond. I do want to make a point too that I think this is also physical, that reaching out and touching the man did something for him that if Jesus only talked to him, it wouldn't do. And I do think human touch is important. Human interaction, how we treat people in ways that might seem surfacey, but actually it does make a difference in how people feel and how they are treated. And what do I mean by that? I mean carrying yourself in a way that is warm, right? That smiles at people and shows them, I care about you, right? Or maybe if you give to someone, you ask them their name or try to connect with them in a personal way, right? And sometimes we might make fun of it, but I do think it's valuable and part of our church community and fellowship. Like when we see each other, we hug each other sometimes, right? And we connect with each other, and that might feel like, you know, stupid or something sometimes, but there is something about even physically connecting and physically extending friendliness and warmth to people. Not doing it fakely. Everyone could spot a fake smile, but from a place of warmth and of care that, hey, I'm happy to see you. How are you doing? Connecting in personal conversation. And sometimes, you know, being there for somebody who's going through something difficult, or you're praying with them, putting your arm around them, right? Just having that physical connection in an appropriate way, just like Jesus did with this person. When I think of willingness, I think of the see a need, meet a need mindset. You know that, hey, I notice somebody needs help, what can I do about it? And it's okay to get advice. It's okay to say no to things. I say no to things sometimes. We can't do everything. Being willing doesn't mean you say yes to everything, but it means you have that spirit of, I want to help, how can I help, what can I do? Amen? You know, I like how he asked Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean, right? And I want you to think about in your life, fill in this blank for you. If you were willing, what needs could you meet? Right? If you were willing, what impact could you have? What difference could you make if you were willing? And there's one more point I want to make on the last scripture in this section, and then we'll move on to the next one. In verse 16, right after Jesus heals this guy and tons of other people come to him, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And I do think that it's hard to be willing to help others when we're overwhelmed with our own stuff. Right? When we're overwhelmed, it's hard to be willing to help others. Willingness and the power of a transforming life comes from withdrawing to lonely places to be with God. Not withdrawing to watch more TV, not withdrawing to scroll through Instagram more, not withdrawing to, right? No, withdrawing to spend time with God. And so we need to know that to be regularly willing to be like Jesus takes regular withdrawing to be with Jesus. It was from his personal time with God that Jesus wrestled with all of his own humanity so that he would have the radical willingness that he had to go be who God was calling him to be and who the world needed him to be. And so we need to go beyond the stimulation that is constantly bombarding us in life and enter into places of solidarity with God like Jesus did. We need time alone with God to refuel, to refocus, to ask Him to help us with all the stuff we're carrying and that we're weighed down by, or we need help with, so that we could be freed up to go and live a full life serving God and serving others. And so we need to live willing to go beyond to connect with God. Let's be willing to go beyond to connect with God in this way so that we could live willing to go beyond to serve. Amen? Amen. Second point, willing to go above to save. You guys still with me?
Yes, sir.
So we'll read the second story here where we see Jesus and some others willing to go above the call of duty. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And so tons of people are coming to Jesus. There's just crowds, and he's teaching them to help them spiritually. But then he's also serving and healing them. And these guys were carrying their paralyzed friend on a mat, and they tried to get him to Jesus. And maybe they're shouting, maybe they're, you know, we live in New York City, right? You can imagine a densely packed crowd of people, and you're trying to get through, right? And there's no way. It's like penguins, right? And so they're trying to get, and you imagine you're carrying your friend on a mat and he's paralyzed, and they couldn't get through because of the crowds. And instead of giving up, right, hey, we tried. They said, hey, let's try to go up on the roof, and maybe we could park some of the tiles and lower you down right in front of Jesus. And maybe he was like, no, we're not doing that. I don't know. Maybe he was like, you guys will help me do that. Who knows? But what we see in these friends is that they were willing to go above to save their friend. They were willing to go above where everyone else was at. And maybe there were other people who needed healing in the crowd that didn't get it that day because they stayed stuck. But they were willing to go above, and we must be willing to go above as well. And I think you can apply this to our mission of bringing spiritually paralyzed people to Jesus to be saved. But I think you can apply this to, hey, am I willing to go above my comfort zone, my busyness of life, my fears? Am I willing to go above all that, my insecurities, to help bring someone who's lost to Jesus to be saved? And I also think there's the idea of us as brothers and sisters in Christ needing to help one another be brought to Jesus to stay saved. Because we don't just bring someone to Jesus and we're like, hey, you're good now all the way to heaven, right? We need people to stay in there to help us not become spiritually paralyzed again, but to keep being brought back before Jesus. And everything I'm going to say applies to both, but I want to focus a little more on the latter. A little more on us being willing to go above to keep each other right with God. Those of us who are brothers and sisters in Christ, to keep each other right with God. All right, something you need to understand is that we don't automatically stay saved. You don't automatically stay thinking spiritually about things.
Right.
The Bible kind of teaches this concept of, yes, when we repent and we're baptized, we're saved, but not yet. We're really not fully saved until Jesus actually comes back or until we finish this life faithfully. And so we must remain faithful. And when one of us starts wandering in our faith, starts drifting, we need someone who is willing to fight for us. We need someone who is willing to go above average to bring us back to Jesus, to save us from where we've been heading towards and drifting from Him. In James chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Right, this is who we need to be for others, and we need people like this in our life. That yes, we get saved, but then we might start to wander. And we need people who are willing to come in and help save us from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Right, notice it says who wanders from the truth. You know, wandering from the truth and wandering into sin, back into a regular life of sin, both of those lead to us being spiritually paralyzed. Right, Ephesians chapter 4 is a sobering passage. It says, I tell you this, and this is written to disciples. This is written to followers of Jesus. I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Now, this verse is a huge warning sign to the consequences of sin. Yeah. And we might think, oh, I'll sin, but then I'll just change later. I'll change my mind later. I'll get control of this later. What's actually going to happen is sin is going to get control of you, and you're not even going to think that way later.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? It says they have futile thinking. That means empty, worthless thinking. It's not like they don't think, but it's thinking that doesn't work. Darkened in understanding, ignorant, hardening of their heart. That speaks to a callousness, right? Where maybe you cared about something before and you don't care about it as much anymore. Maybe we could all think about when you were 12, 13, and first starting to do things wrong for the first time and felt shame, felt guilt, and now you do those things and don't think twice about it, right? Your heart has gotten hardened by sin. It says losing sensitivity. And then once you lose sensitivity, you give yourself over. And people think, oh, I don't want to become a Christian. I want to be free. Well, you're not free. You are a slave to sin. You don't do what you want. You do what your sinful nature wants. Right? It says, given over to sensuality with a continual want for more, full of greed. Right? Well, I just want to do what I want to do. And the warning here is that as Christians, we can go back to being this way, spiritually paralyzed, if we let sin or wandering from the truth creep back into our lives and we don't get control of it, and it gets control back of us. Right? And so this can happen to you. You could be in a place where you're wrong about something and not even know it. Sinning, but not even see it. And that's why we've got to stay in the Word. That's why we've got to stay putting ourselves before God. But that's also why we need to keep spiritual people in our lives who are going to bring us to Jesus. Because all of us, we all get stuck. We all wander. We fall into sin. We start thinking unspiritually. We think worldly about stuff. We make mistakes. We don't know what we're doing all the time, right? It's then that we need mat carriers. Right? And no one is making it on their own. No one's making it to heaven on their own. We all need people who are going to help us. And you've got to realize this can happen and consider, could I be wrong about the way I'm thinking? Could I need to change something the way this brother or sister is trying to help me see I need to change? You know, if you're in a tough place, you've got to let others carry you. Not just try to know I've got it, I'll do it myself. Right? Let others carry you. I've been there before, right? Challenged in different areas of my character, or maybe things in our marriage that we were stuck on and needing help with, things in my parenting, right? Things in my heart that I've had to deal with. And I've just needed spiritual people in my life who I trust and who I go to and who I don't depend on in a way that takes responsibility off myself, but who I go to just open myself and go, what are you seeing in me? What do I need to do? Right, where you just lay on the mat and let them go, here, let me bring you to Jesus so you can see yourself, so you can get the help that you need. Right? Sometimes you just need to put your life in faithful spiritual people's hands. Instead of trying to figure it all out yourself, you just go to them and you say, can you just tell me what to do? I need help here. Like, how should I think about this biblically? What's the right thing to do? Can you help me out? Right? And have that humility to get help from spiritual people. And the truth is that when you're starting to be paralyzed, it could be hard to get help. And it could be hard even more to take the help that you're being told to do, right? And sometimes I think about, you know, I don't know if this ever has happened to you guys, otherwise this is going to be super embarrassing. But these are one of those human experiences where I just assume everybody deals with this. But do you ever wake up and your arm is just like completely numb? And you wake up and you're like, start smacking yourself, and you're like, whoa, what the heck is going on? Right? And you're like, this, you know, it's a little concerning. And then the worst part comes, which is the sensitivity starting to come back. And it stings so bad, right? Like you got those pins and needles, or your leg falls asleep and you get up and then you're just like limping and you want to sit back down, but then it's not going to get better, right? And so it's the same way. Like if you start getting spiritually numb, where you're like, oh, I'm not changing this. Oh, I don't see what's wrong with this. Oh, I don't see my need for help with this. And then help starts coming in from the scriptures. Help starts coming in for spiritual people. It can sting a little bit. Yeah. But you got to go, no, I need this to get better. Yeah. I don't want to stay numb. I don't want to go back numb. And then it's going to sting again when I try to get out of this. Yeah. Push through the sting, right? Get the help you need to regain your sensitivity and spirituality in your walk with God. Right? When you are paralyzed, do you recognize it? And do you let others lead you back to Jesus out of it? You need the help. But then flip side that, when you notice others needing help, when you notice others starting to drift, do you let them or do you step in to try to help them? To be a mat carrier. Right? If you were one of these guys with a paralyzed friend and you couldn't get through the crowd, would you have thrown in the towel and said, well, bro, we tried. I prayed for you. Or would you fight to find another way to get them to Jesus? Willing to go above. Let's go to the roof. And they're like, nah, that's embarrassing. You're like, no, we need to do this. You need help. We're not letting you stay here. Right? Be people who find a way to help, who find a solution. Right? What does it look like to be a mat carrier that goes above? And I'd say this applies for everyone, helping people become Christians, but also helping each other stay saved. First of all, you've got to notice, right? You've got to notice each other. Don't live so in your own bubble that you don't notice if somebody else isn't doing well. Wow. Right? Notice when someone is discouraged. Be in people's lives enough that you know what they're dealing with and what's going on with them. Right? Ask personal questions, not like interrogating, but as a friend. Right? How are you doing? What can I pray for you about? What are you wrestling with? Right? Notice when someone is discouraged. Notice when somebody's dealing with hardship. Right? If somebody is going through grief or lost someone, if somebody's wandering into sin or stuck spiritually, you're noticing bitterness or an attitude developing. Notice that stuff. But noticing isn't enough. That just leaves them alone, right? Notice, but then you've got to engage. You've got to involve yourself. Right, get on this mat. Let me help you, right? You see things, but then you say something. Not from judgment, not from criticism, but from care, from love, from grace. Right? And sometimes we don't say something because we're not sure how they're going to respond. Right? Or maybe we don't know exactly what to say. Or maybe sometimes we just assume, oh, somebody else is helping them with that. Right? Oh, whoever disciples them is helping them with that, right? Maybe they don't even know about it. Right? Sometimes people share things with friends they don't share with the person who they think, oh, they're going to try to help me with this. Right. You be the person who's going to try to help them with that. You know, notice something, but then talk about it, right? Be solution-oriented, right? Just go to people with, hey, we're going to get you help. We're going to bring you to Jesus, and you are going to overcome this. We're going to get you through this. Express care and express faithfulness. Sometimes we need our faith to compensate for other people's lack of faith. You know, in verse 20, it said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. That's He didn't say, it didn't say when he saw his faith, he said, it said when he saw his friend's faith. Right? And so sometimes we need faith for each other that the one struggling doesn't have for themselves. Bro, you can overcome this. Sis, you can get through this. God does care about you. I am going to be here for you. Have faith that they don't have to help them through it. You be their spiritual friend, not just like a worldly friend who knows but doesn't do something to help them. Notice, engage, and then bring to Jesus. Right? How can you bring someone to Jesus? Well, first, you could be like Jesus to them. Jesus doesn't come with a condemning nature. He comes with a graceful nature. Hey, this is serious. You know, repent or perish, right? Jesus says those things. But he also comes with belief, with hope, with love, with grace and truth. Right? And bringing somebody to Jesus, I think, is regularly praying for them and regularly praying with them. That brings them to Jesus. Bringing them to Jesus is bringing up scriptures, sending them scriptures. Hey, let's look at some scriptures together. Let's read some scriptures together. That's the word is Jesus' word. So bringing them to the word is bringing them to Jesus. Right? Serving people, encouraging people, helping make sure they're going to come to the body or whatever it is. Like, that's bringing people to Jesus. And one last practical I'll say on bringing people to Jesus is if you are in conflict with somebody who's another brother or sister in Christ, you being like Jesus is you being the first to apologize. You being the first to forgive. Jesus came initiating reconciliation. Bringing someone to Jesus is being an initiator of reconciliation. If you got beef with somebody, don't be like, well, they did blank and I'm going to wait for them to come to me. It takes two to tango, right? It takes two to reconcile also. You be the first. Take that first step. Say, hey, look, I just want to say I'm sorry for how I, whatever it is, I treat you. Will you forgive me? Right? And be willing to take that first step of reconciliation. That's bringing somebody to Jesus. Like I said, this guy was saved by the faith of others. There will be times in your life where you will really need people like this to step in and fight for you.
That's right.
And to carry you.
Yeah.
Where your faith is not going to be enough on its own. And so I want to ask you today, are you building those relationships now so that you'll have them when you need them? And are you going to be the friend whose faith saves someone else when they need it? And so if you're here today and someone has been trying to help you become a disciple, I want to encourage you to welcome them into your life, to welcome them in and say, help me become a disciple of Jesus. And if someone has been trying to help you grow or help you overcome some sin in your life or grow spiritually, let those people help you, right? Give them your heart, your time, and say, help me to grow spiritually. I want to make this easy for you. Let's be willing to go above for one another, to keep each other saved and help each other come to Jesus. Amen? And here we're going to end here with taking communion together, which we do every week to remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, how he gave his body and his blood to save us. And that should motivate us to go be who we need to be in this next week. And so if you need a communion cup, you could go ahead and raise your hand and we'll bring them to you. But I want to close out focusing on this point that Jesus was willing to go above, way above anybody else to save you.
Yeah.
And that you realize, hey, I got to be willing to go above to save others, but that's what Jesus did for me. Let's finish out this story here. You guys with me? When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." What I see in this passage was that Jesus was willing to go above average to save. What did they bring this guy to Jesus for? They brought him to Jesus for physical healing, to be helped with being paralyzed physically. But what was the first thing that Jesus did? He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." All right, first of all, he calls him friend, initiating a deeper relationship with him than the guy was expecting. And that's what Jesus does for us. Secondly, we need help with all sorts of stuff in our life. But the thing we need help with more than anything is our sin. We need to be forgiven of our sin. And who can forgive sin except God alone? No one else can do that. And when we go to Jesus, he's willing to help us with all this stuff in our life. But more than that, he's able and he's willing to go above to forgive us of our sins, something that no one else can do. The harder thing, which is harder, he said, to forgive sin or to say, pick up your mat? Obviously, forgiving sin is harder. Only God can do that. Jesus was willing to do what literally no one else can do, and that's die for your sin, forgive you of your sin. Jesus had authority, has authority, to forgive us of our sin. You know, to be forgiven in English, when we use that word in English, it has a limited meaning. Basically what it means, saying your sins are forgiven. In English, it means that a relationship is renewed despite wrongdoing that has been done, but the act that caused the separation cannot be erased or changed. So, hey, we're okay again now, we're reconciled, but you can't erase, you can't always forget what caused the break or the separation, right? The word in Greek that Jesus used here was this word aphemi. And this word aphemi is this word that kind of means God forgiveness. Not human forgiveness, but greater than that. Greater than human's forgiveness, above human forgiveness. Because this word means to let go or to erase something. This word means to give up a debt or to send something away. So when we forgive, we might be okay, but we kind of remember and hold on to some of it. When God forgives, it is erased. It is done away with. Jesus forgives us in a God forgiveness way. Jesus paid the penalty so that sin can no longer be held against us. As a disciple of Jesus, you are so forgiven that in God's eyes, it is as if you never sinned. And so as we take communion today, I want you to reflect on how, wow, Jesus was willing to go above on the cross, above all that he went through, to forgive me of my sin in a way that nobody else could. And that when you realize Jesus was willing to do that for you, you respond with a heart and a conviction that's willing to do anything for him, willing to go above and beyond for each other. So let's go to God in prayer for communion and then leave here with that heart and that spirit today. Amen? Let's pray. Good morning, Father. Thank you so much for Jesus, for his example, and for how much you show us through him who you are and what you are willing to do for us. That Jesus was willing to go above and beyond what anybody expected, what anybody hoped for, what anybody would regularly be willing to do to bring hope, to bring humanity, to bring healing, to bring salvation for the people in this story, but also for us today. I pray that each one of us would bring our shame, our guilt to Jesus and know that he's willing to forgive us. And that we would respond from that with a willingness to obey you, a willingness to make you Lord, a willingness to go above and beyond for the other people in this world that need you, people in our life who need you, and to help serve and save those that you've put around us. God, thank you for Jesus, his example, his death on the cross, and pray that each one of us would really connect with that in reflection and response this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.